The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Okay, great. Good morning, everyone. Hi. Welcome to IMC. So, before I do any real talking and all that, how about we just start with a short meditation to just arrive and settle in? Okay, I'll do a little guided meditation. I invite you to find a comfortable position, whether it's on the floor or a chair. Settling into this body, into this moment. Allowing your back to be naturally supported and straight, while your muscles, your soft tissue is relaxed and soft as possible, relaxed as possible. Bringing your attention to your breath, to the breath within the body. Maybe taking a few deep diaphragmatic breaths just to settle in. And with every out-breath, arriving, settling some more into this moment, into this body, and this moment in life. And maybe there are still a lot of thoughts and images and considerations from your morning. Actively putting them down with respect, not to throw them away, but just bow to them. Telling them you will come back to them. And for now, you're going to sit. You're going to sit and be. The simplicity of this breath, the simplicity of the experience in this moment right here, right now. The physicality of your experience. Just to settle and calm the mind. Allowing your breath in your belly to be felt, every in-breath, every out-breath. bringing in some curiosity, a simple curiosity into your experience, into your physical experience. Letting this gentle curiosity be like a small dash of salt in a big pot of awareness. Helping you to get just a little more intimate with your experience. For example, as you're breathing, as the breath is breathing itself, just becoming a little more intimate. Connecting a little more with wonder, with openness, gentle curiosity. To the sensations of in-breath, out-breath throughout the body. And if you find your mind at any point is not resting in the body and on the breath, but it's resting on a thought, a plan, a memory, it's okay, you're not doing this practice wrong. Simply noticing with openness, with a bit of curiosity, oh, this is what's arising right now. In this mind, in this heart. And right now, for the purpose of our mind settling and arriving more, not investigating too much in the body. For now, letting it go, putting it down. Instructions might change throughout the day, but for now, bowing to it after having recognized what it is. Simply coming back to the physical experience of breathing and being in this room, being in this body. As you've been invited to bring in a dash of curiosity into your experience, notice if the flavor of curiosity is a kind, open curiosity. Or whether it has a judgmental edge to it. A sharpness that wants to know experience in order to change it or get rid of it. See if you can be curious about the flavor of your curiosity. I'm not sure. So you can't hear it, or?
I can hear, but it's just muffled. Is anybody else experiencing that?
I think it needs to be lower.
Yeah, I can barely hear any of what you were saying. It was very nice.
I think she's saying that she needs more treble in this space.
Maybe.
Okay.
Crisper.
For the advanced class now.
All right. Let's take time to debug this. So that the sound waves don't sound garbled. That's what I'm hearing you say. It just kind of sounded garbled.
Frank, can you talk a little?
I can definitely talk a little. Say good morning. Hi. How does it sound now? It's sounding... It's more clear to you? Volume could be lower. I'll keep talking. I'm going to stop the recording. Oops. Cord. All right. So, welcome. Now that actually you can hear me. For those of you who weren't able to understand what I was saying. Anyway. Good morning and welcome again to a day long on the seven factors of awakening. So, a show of hands, who is relatively new to IMC? A show of hands, who's relatively new? Okay, relatively new, okay. So, for how many people the practice of, or the teaching on the seven factors of awakening is relatively new? Okay, all right, great. Okay. So... that gives me a sense as to how to gauge what I'm sharing. So today is the second series in the 7-month series that we're covering here at IMC, and the second factor is the factor of investigation or curiosity, which is why. In the guided meditation, I was inviting you to bring in a sense of curiosity, open curiosity, investigation about your experience. There are so many different ways to bring in the factor of curiosity and investigation, and throughout the day, we will cover the different aspects. So investigation is not one thing. There are many different ways to apply it to the experience. But one way that we started this morning, just to give some context, was having curiosity, to give you more intimacy about the physicality of your experience, with the sensations of the breathing, with the sensations of the body. So investigation in the various ways that it applies, one thing to say is that it's about the moment-to-moment experience, about the experience right now. The word investigation in English is a little difficult or a little misnomer perhaps, because sometimes you think of investigation, you know, say if something comes up, you think about investigation might refer to why is this coming up, what did I do this morning, what did I do as a child. It's not that kind of investigation. It's not a historical investigation, this factor of investigation that we're going to be talking about and exploring together. It's more curiosity about the present moment experience right now, right here. Right now, right here. So let me pop up a level and say a little more about the structure of the day. Now that you kind of know what the topic is, I'll speak a little bit about the structure of the day and what our intention is together for this practice day. So Dharma practice days, this is one of, it's going to be a mix of three different things. One is me talking, so that there's some information that I will be relaying. So there is there's a cognitive aspect of actually hearing a different perspective or perspective. And that information might come either from me or when we have let's just keep it simple. So there would be some lectures in terms of the format. There would be some information that I would be sharing. And then there is a second aspect of this day, which is an interactive aspect of actually thinking and speaking and kind of working out the concepts in either dyads, in pairs, or in small groups. So there's aspect of actually not just receiving, but kind of thinking, reflecting, thinking how it relates to your experience, to your life. So that aspect of the practice actually, and also being held witness by another person, by another human being as you're reflecting on these concepts, can help it go deeper. And then, so that's the second aspect that we'll be exploring today together, part of the layout of the day. And the third aspect is the guided meditations, and actually meditation in silence, for you to try it on for size and see actually how it really feels in your experience when you actually do it and the insights that might arise. So those are the three modes we'll have today. So it's not all silence, it's not all practice, it's not all talking, it's just all those three modes that hopefully will be balanced. So with that, let me see what else I need to say. So we'll also have a break for lunch at probably 12:30 or so. We'll see how it goes. And anything else? Any other questions before we get started? Really about the questions about the structure of the day before we delve into the topic of the day. Okay. All right.
Is there an audio of the first session that you had about a month ago?
There is an audio of the first session.
And is it on the IMC website?
It is. It's on Audio Dharma. It should be. It is there. Yeah. Kristen confirms it's there. Oh, okay. It should be there. Great. So with that, let me speak a little bit about this factor of investigation and how it fits in with the other factors. So just to mention the seven factors for those of you who are not here for the last time, the seven factors, the first factor is mindfulness, sati, which is online if you want to go and listen to it. Sati, mindfulness, which is to recognize phenomena. It's that factor of recognition, of knowing. It's kind of that factor of awareness, which actually last month, unentangled knowing is the brief way to think about sati or mindfulness. Is unentangled knowing is knowing something without being entangled in it, without being caught up in it. So mindfulness, when there is that knowing, when there is that awareness, when there is that unentangled awareness of something, naturally it gives rise to curiosity. It naturally leads into the second factor, which is what we're going to be exploring today, which is the factor of investigation. In Pali, the word for it is Dhamma Vichaya, Dhamma Vichaya, Dhamma Dhamma, Vichaya Vicaya, for those of you who like to know the Pali, which literally translates to the investigation of Dhammas, investigation of phenomena. Dhamma can be translated as phenomena or reality. So investigation of phenomena or reality. So let's consider for a moment, as I mentioned, when there is mindfulness, when there is this sense of knowing, intimacy with experience, naturally when that is there, sense of curiosity arises from that, sense of curiosity, opening, investigating the phenomena naturally. And you can see that in your own experience. As you're sitting here and listening, for example, see if you can have awareness. If you can have awareness of the sounds that are coming through and hitting your ear, the eardrum. So having curiosity, knowing that you're hearing, that you're listening, just making contact with this hearing, as you hear the sound of my voice, as you hear sounds in the room, as there is this connection, this knowing with this ear door, with this hearing, notice how naturally some curiosity arises. Some curiosity, some interest. There's a sense of interest as there is as connecting with knowing. When you really grok, when you really connect with the sound, so naturally the knowing, the unentangled knowing, the sati, the mindfulness, whatever word you put to it, it naturally gives rise to a sense of the mind kind of turns to it with wanting to know more, with a sense of open curiosity, which is both natural and we can cultivate more. We can cultivate more and turn our attention more to it. And again, there's plenty there for us to spend the whole day. In fact, we can spend the whole month with just the factor of investigation, Dhamma Vichaya. Let me briefly mention the other factors. So the factor of investigation or curiosity, it leads to, when naturally leads to energy, in Pali, virya, V-I-R-I-Y-A, also translated as determination. So the way that happens, again, as you can explore in your experience, when there is curiosity, when there's interest, when there's curiosity about something, it brings up energy. It's like the mind becomes wrapped. It becomes really interested in it. The same way that, say, Let's say, I'll bring up an example in my life. Sometimes when there's curiosity about a topic and I look it up on the web, I search Google, and so there's curiosity. And then I read one article, and then there's a link to another article, and then there's a link to another. And there's this energy. Maybe I wanted to go to bed, but now there's all this energy to learn about this topic, which wasn't there before. So this is an example in my life. I'm sure you can find examples in your life when there is this curiosity, this energy comes up that you didn't know was there. It just brings up, livens up this energy. Yes? Can you identify with that? Show of hands? Yeah, of course. It's part of the human... it's part of being a human. We all have it. So this is an experience that we can all relate to in different examples. So, and just to mention the other factors, energy, virya, can lead to rapture or joy, which in Pali is piti, P-I-T-I. Joy or rapture then leads to, when it evens out, a sense of bubbly joy. When it evens out, it gives rise to tranquility or peace, which is pasadi in Pali, P-A-S-S-A-D-D-H-I, tranquility of body and mind. And the tranquility, when it really settles, that gives rise to the mind really settling and becoming calm and unified, which in Pali is samadhi, which is often translated as concentration, the factor of concentration in the mind. But a better translation actually might be unification of the mind. Kind of the mind really feeling calm and settled and unified. And the last of the seven factors is equanimity, upekkha, which is the crown jewel of Buddhist practice, which is the sense of being fully aware of phenomena without either being... clinging to it, wanting it, or pushing it away. Just the sense of complete equipoise with phenomena. And that's the seventh factor. Equanimity, upekkha. U-P-E-K-K-H-A. And the Pali for the other ones, samadhi, S-A-M-A-D-H-I, and pasadi, I think I mentioned that one already, P-A-S-S-A-D-D-H-I. So the seven factors of awakening, two things to keep in mind as we explore any of them. That is, they're both naturally occurring in our lives. They're accessible to different levels for us, even without practice. Curiosity, of course you can relate to curiosity and investigation, right? It's not something out there that Buddhists just have hegemony over and won't share it with anybody else. Of course, I mean, it's just part of our being human. We all have a sense of curiosity or tranquility or joy, rapture, or different levels of equanimity. So they're a natural part of the experience of being human, and yet the reason why they're called the seven factors of awakening is that through practice they become really enlivened, they become really awakened in us, accessible, and through their strength then they support awakening. So it's like a virtuous cycle. As we practice more, they become more strengthened, more and more strengthened in a healthy way. And as they become strengthened in a healthy way, we progress further on the path towards awakening, freedom, ease in our lives. So they support. So practice supports them and they support practice. So does that make sense? The virtuous cycle? And another way to think about them is that when there is freedom, when there are moments of ease, and let me just say something about awakening, because, you know, defining our words, being on the same page is important. So awakening or enlightenment or freedom, I prefer the word freedom, being free, so that one can relate to it, to the concept. Again, it's more relatable instead of, oh, this awake enlightenment thing that happens after years and years of being in a cave and it will never, ever happen for me. Instead of relating it that way, which I don't think is healthy or productive or supportive, relating to it as freedom. Freedom can happen in daily life, having more and more freedom in ways that maybe you didn't have last week, last month, a year ago. Having more and more freedom in many ways. And yet, of course, as you practice, freedom can increase. And there are momentary insights and experiences that can crack the heart and the mind open to more, much more freedom in the moment. So there are many experiences of awakening. So the seven factors, actually, when they are, say you're sitting on the cushion, you're practicing, a precursor to those moments of insight when the mind can crack open, the crack appears. The seven factors of awakening need to be, I mean, it just happens that they become balanced. They are all alive and they're balanced. There's mindfulness and there's curiosity and there's energy and, you know, everything is just like, it's all there. It's not like you have to try to like bring them, you know, you've practiced so long that they're all balanced, they're just accessible right now. It's just all there. You know, your mind, your heart is so alive that momentary further opening can happen in that moment. So different ways to relate to the factors of awakening, both accessible in daily life and also as a support on the path for more freedom, for more ease, for awakening. So let me just pause for a moment and ask if there are any questions about what I just shared. Yes, and if you want to use the mic behind you, it would be great, so it will be recorded for those who will be hearing it afterwards.
I just want to be clear, is the general teaching that this is sequential and one kind of leads to the other, leads to the other, leads to the other?
Yes and no.
Okay.
Great. So yes and no. So in some ways, they do lead to another, as I mentioned, just as the water flows down. And yet, we can strengthen each and every one of them. So sometimes you might find in your practice that you have a lot more investigation, you have a lot more energy, and maybe there's not quite a lot of equanimity, or there's a lot of equanimity but not a lot of investigation. So you can balance them. And in fact, another way to see the seven is that three of them are calming factors, three of them energizing, yes, thank you. I think of bubbly usually, but bubbly is not a good word. Energizing. So three of them are energizing factors. And mindfulness is in the middle, like a seesaw, balancing. So you might notice that. So the three that are calming are the last three. There is tranquility, concentration, and equanimity are the calming factors in the mind. And the other three, the factor of investigation and energy and piti, joy, rapture, those are the energizing factors. So many times, actually, when you're on retreat, when people come for practice meetings, my job is to hear and listen to see if there is there's an imbalance in the seven factors as they're experimenting. If there's a lot of kind of maybe they're doing too much investigation, like too much curiosity. So they're kind of like their mind isn't settling. So, okay, then we bring in a little more tranquility, calming, settling, or maybe they're half sinking mind, which is a technical word we use for when the mind just doesn't have enough energy. It's just kind of like, it's just sinking. It's just not kind of grabbing, not being with phenomena, reality. Then at that point, then maybe I suggest, oh, bring in more investigation, bring in more curiosity, bring in more joy or energy or sit up more straight to kind of bring more energy into your body. So balancing those factors. So there. So to answer your question, both and. They lead to each other, and there are times that some might be stronger and they need to be balanced and need to be cultivated. Yeah. The mic is over there, and if somebody would pass it to you.
So I think I have a weakness with curiosity. And when you speak, you imply that it's a natural phenomenon that occurs.
Yeah.
You know, the mind thinking is so rapid. Mm-hmm. You know, the thought processes are so rapid.
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure for myself that I have that quality of curiosity.
Mm. Okay. I appreciate you having that reflection, and let's sit with it for a moment. So what you said is that there is a rapid progression of thoughts in the mind. So, and you wonder whether you have curiosity. So I would say curiosity doesn't. So I'm not quite sure how the rapid succession of thoughts relates to lack of curiosity.
The mind moves so quickly from object to object, you know, from thought to thought.
Right.
So often there's not a space for curiosity.
Ah, okay. So I see what you mean by that. And I invite you to actually take a step back now and consider curiosity actually more holistically, not as is something that needs to be inserted, needs to be kind of made space for, but as a general quality that as a human being you have. So think about you've come here today. You have curiosity. You have interest to learn more about this. So can you relate to factor of curiosity in that way, wanting to know more? That's it. Great. So relate to it that way. And that's why in the instructions I was saying, imagine you have a pot of water and you're putting in a dash of salt, right? So salt gets kind of gets diluted. So now the water has salt. It's not like there's water and then we're going to put salt in the middle and then water again and there's no... You see what I'm saying? It just kind of like imbues the experience. So as long as you relate to it as you can relate to it as just having curiosity as a human being. You know, when you call up your friend, how are you doing? Right?
Somehow the word interest has more power for me than curiosity.
Yeah.
Because curiosity is something that can get encouraged in childhood or not.
Yeah.
And if it's dampened, it's hard to access it.
Yeah. And I hear that, and it sounds more like it might be a different people have different amounts of natural curiosity, granted, but yet we all have it. We all have different levels of curiosity, and if lexically the word interest works better for you and curiosity seems foreign, then work with interest. Because you definitely, whatever that, okay, let's just call it Dhamma Vichaya. We all have Dhamma Vichaya, which is the sense of curiosity, interest, investigation, whatever kind of openness to experience.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. Great. So, let me see how to move on. No, it's for the recording.
Hello. I notice in my case, I seem to have a need to narrate as the process of thoughts are moving through. I narrate kind of a narrative that's going along with it. And I don't know if I should discourage that narrative and just try to see it as it is and not have to describe it because it's kind of like redundant.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
So should I discourage the narrative? Or
what, so you're saying that when you're having thoughts, there's a narrative on
there's a narrative that goes along with it.
On the top of the thoughts.
On top of the thoughts.
Yeah.
I'm narrating these thoughts. And some are more interesting than others, you know, and I kind of have a tendency to stop that thought because mm-hmm. I'm curious about that thought, not about the other one. Mm-hmm. And I'm stopping it and I'm narrating. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like that's not good. Somehow I'm intuiting that that's not, it's not a good thing to practice that. I should mm-hmm. discourage that. And I'm just asking if that is something right. that you could speak to.
So what I would say is in terms of the topic, so I would like to relate to what you're saying, not for it just to be a general question, but to relate it to the topic we're covering today. And in that way, what I suggest is to have curiosity about it. So let me tell you what I mean. To have curiosity about this whole process, okay? About this whole process of whether it is helpful, whether it's wholesome, not wholesome, like what is happening? Just have kind of sit back instead of jumping, being in the midst of it, entangled in it, to actually step back and see what is happening in your heart and mind when there is this narration. What does it happen when there is no narration, a narrative? And it just kind of be a scientist of your own mind. This is what I invite you to do. So, okay. Right. Okay. So, I was just looking up. So, there are different different translations for Dhamma Vichaya. Usually, it's translated as investigation. And as I said, investigation is a bit of a tricky, maybe tricky word in English because it conjures up historical investigation, like when the police goes and, you know, interviews everyone and what happened and what, you know, like background. Whereas investigation here really is in the moment. What is happening? What is arising and passing? What is happening right in the moment, right here, right now in the experience? And it's not a narrative investigation either. Why is this arising? Why am I feeling sad? Oh, is it because of what happened yesterday? Is it because of my childhood? Is it because of my mother? This is not that kind of investigation. It's not that kind of investigation, this Dhamma Vichaya. It's not that kind of investigation. I say it again. It's not that kind of investigation. The investigation is right here, right now. What does it feel like? What's arising? What's passing right here, right now? Not thinking about the past, not falling into the future. I'll make it more clear, but I just wanted to say that because the word investigation can be a complicated one. It's also the word Dhamma Vichaya has also been translated as discrimination of Dhammas. Maybe that's a better word. It's kind of discrimination of Dhammas or truth discerning wisdom. Truth discerning wisdom is another translation of it.
And there's not supposed to be any analysis. No evidence. Just watch it.
As today, as I will give you more exercises, I think it will become clearer to you. So I'm going to ask you to sit with that. Okay. So I'd like to share with you a little story from, it's from a book called The Questions of King Milinda, and it's a famous work of Buddhist literature. And basically, there's a dialogue between the great King Milinda and who plays the devil's advocate, and the Buddhist sage Nagasena. So here is a little dialogue which has to do with this factor. So here it goes. So how many factors of enlightenment are there? 7. Oh, king. So the king is asking, how many factors of enlightenment are there? He's asking the Buddhist sage, Nagasena. 7, O king. By how many factors does one awaken to the truth? By 1, investigation of truth, for nothing can be understood without that. Then why is it said that there are 7? Could the sword that is in your sheath cut anything if it was not taken up by the hand? No, venerable sir, just so, O king, without the other factors of enlightenment, investigation of truth could not awaken to the truth. I like that. So basically this factor of investigation or knowing the truth is the one that leads to knowing, to discerning wisdom, but it needs all the other factors, the other six factors to support it. So just hold that as, you know, just hold that as all of them supporting each other. So, You know what? I think it's time. We started about an hour ago. So let's take a 10-minute break. I've talked for a long time. And when we come back, well, I'll tell you, when we come back, we come back. So let's just take a 10-minute break. I'll